Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak show. I'm Ilan Azulay, and I'm your host, and I'm a spiritual mentor and an empowerment speaker for women who are ready to reclaim their power. It's called Abracadabra because Abracadabra in Aramaic, it's literally meaning I create what I speak, and it is literally so. And this is what this program is for to raise awareness, to talk about different ways that we can manifest and be here to be whole, so we can be for the other and understand where we're coming from and the decisions that we make and how they affect us, and all while looking at those details, understanding the bigger picture of how things are and what we are here to do and to learn and to grow and opportunity to advance our spiritual growth and raise our vibration. And everything that happens here to teach us, and it happens for us and not to us. So, happy Sunday. And I want to start first with the daily prayer. But before that, I want to say that this is a pre-recorded show. So it is not Sunday for me. Actually, it's Saturday evening, Saturday night. And so this is a pre-recorded show, so no phone calls today. Don't push. There's enough place for everybody. but no phone calls today. And I want to start with the daily prayer. Daily prayer and request that I will have the power and capacity to fulfill that. And this is the Hebrew prayer. V'hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh. And I hereby accept, O myself, the due commandment of love my neighbor, my friend, the person in front of me, the same way that I express love to myself. And this is really the point here, is really to start with the love to ourselves, to heal ourselves and to nurture ourselves so we can be here for the other. And it's a process and it's a journey, and we go through these experiences. And we come to these understandings in different times in our lives, hopefully. But reflection, this was a time of reflection, because this month, this past week, was the Jewish New Year. And in English it's called New Year, and in a way it is a new year because it's a new season, we are seasonal. And so this is really a new year, if we look at nature, how nature starts. And but really what it means, and in Hebrew Rosh means head. So it's the head of the year. And the year is, in Kabbalah and in Judaism, the year is referred to as the body. Each month has a different function and meaning. And it refers to the body. And when we take care of our body, then we, of our mind, of our head, then our body is healed, is working fine. When we take care of our thoughts, of our intentions, of where we're coming from, on healing wounds and traumas, then our body follows suit. And this is this month. This month is very strong energetically, blood moon, new moon, and the energetic abundance that is coming through the words, letters, events, in the calendar and otherwise. And so when we are looking at this month and looking at our intentions, at our thoughts, at where do we put our focus on? Are we choosing from a healed place? Are we choosing partnerships from a place of authenticity, authenticity to ourselves? When we take care of this head, then we're setting the tone for the year to come. And so with that said, I want to emphasize, and this is something I talked a little bit on Friday, that you are exactly where you have to be in your journey. Exactly where you have to be, who you have to be, and when you have to be. There is no right or wrong. This is what each one of us needs to grow in this journey and to move forward and to take our lessons and to grow from that, so we don't have to repeat the class. We don't have to repeat this learning, this teaching. You know, every experience is like, especially in relationships, we learn so much about ourselves in relationships. Every experience is like a class. It's like we are in a class to learn something, and if we don't really learn what we need to learn, what happens? We stay a class. We are repeating the same lessons again, and then we are experiencing those same experiences, and we are kind of knocking on our head and said, "Nah, it happened again." So when we look at somebody else's life, it's very easy to look. You know, when we look on the outside, we walk down the street, we meet people at work, we're observing what's happening outside, especially posts in Facebook. I mean, you hardly see somebody that is posting something that is negative or they're in a negative space. Usually you see people that are enjoying and having fun and talking about this and that, and the sun is shining and everything is hunky-dory and everything appears to be very lovely. And sometimes we can look at things and say, well, why does this is happening for them? You know, you look at somebody in the street or a neighbor or a friend and you say, well, why this person, this is what's happening. Why is it not happening to me? Why is I'm working so hard to achieve something? And here is this person coming and without a sweat just gets that and receives that and is already. We sometimes have that. The thing to remember is that each person, right, each person is exactly where they have to be in their journey. Because their journey is exactly that, their journey. The tools that each person has are exactly the tools that that person needs to advance in their particular journey, in their strive to elevate their vibration. Also, if they're not aware of that, but they're in the game, they're acting in the game. You know, the sentence about the whole world is a stage and we are actors. It's literally like that. We've all met already and we're playing different characters. And so when we look at others, let's say, abundance or what appears to be abundance, you know the sentence, there is the sentence where, you know, the grass is greener on the neighbor's, right? The grass on the other side is always greener. That's true, that sentence. And I added another section to that, that the grass is greener, but most of the time it's synthetic, or many times it's synthetic. Meaning that what we see is not really what it is. And also if it is what it is, this is for that person's journey. That person is here to work on something that they need to work on for them to grow, whether it is financial, relationship-wise, And these are the tools that they need to challenge their perception. Yes, to challenge their perception, because everything that happens, happens for us, not to us. And so how we look at something and how we take something and start and perceiving it and then starting believing it, we are then creating a reality. And when we perceive something that is inaccurate, that is based only on what we think, we perceive that, we start believing that, and we start creating stories in our head, and we start sometimes making decisions from places that are really only in your head. And it's funny, and it happens, and it's, and I know it happened to me many times, and it's, we all go through that, and we assume things, and we make things what they're not. And so that person has what they have because this is what is for them. And for you, you need to deal with self-worth, self-value, love to yourself, compassion, financial. Everybody has a different story to figure out. And can you create your own story? Can you come out? Can you find the exit from the story that you were born into, that you were told? Can you find that corner in the circled room? There is a corner. It's just visually, it's illusion. It looks like there is no corner in this circled room. But there is a corner in this perception that can change and shift and challenge your perception. It's like working out. It's like a gym for the imagination. So you're practicing this imagination muscle. And that's a perception. Imagine yourself standing in the middle of a football field. One person in the middle of the football field. That entire field, that is your imagination. That is your imagination. And everything is possible. So why to limit ourselves based on what other story is, based on what that person has? That is what I want. And sometimes we work so hard to get something that is not easily, readily coming to us. We struggle and we jump hoops and then we get that situation, we get that after so much energy and work and hard work, and it's not exactly what we wanted. You know, so the authentic place, it is... So when we look at other, when we... And now it's not also about stuff. It could be also about when we're looking at relationships. When we're looking for somebody to relationship-shize us, to have a relationship with a person, and we're searching for a person, and we keep searching, and many times when we are searching, we're searching for something that may be better than what we already have and what is in front of us. What we have is what is in front of us. Sometimes we look for things outside, and it's right there, was in front of our eyes, under our nose, all the time. And so when we're doing that, when we are chasing something that doesn't exist, we may many times lose what already exists and is here and now. And you know, it's like a lesson in presence, a lesson in being present. You know, this was really a strong lesson about being present in certain situations. And when we look for something that we don't have, we many times lose what we already have. It's funny, I was talking to somebody and I were joking and talking about how to cultivate presence. Just in a day-to-day, how do we cultivate presence? And I said, think about eating a piece of chocolate. So I'm asking you, think about eating a piece of chocolate. What happens? I like bitter, like nice 80%. Anyway, you have a piece of chocolate in your mouth. The only thing you're thinking about is how this chocolate is swirling in your mouth. You take a piece of chocolate and somebody starts talking to you and asking you a question. And you're like, let me finish first this piece of chocolate because I don't want to talk while I am enjoying this chocolate. So nothing else is important except for the chocolate in your mouth. And that's really like a presence, like a very short lesson in presence that I experience, that I notice when I'm eating chocolate. And so so presence also gives us patience. And you know, so here in this society and now in these times, everything is so fast. No, I don't like this, boom. Move on. No, what other options? What's available? And so I think many times this comes from fear. From fear because in past experiences we've experienced places where we were not authentic with ourselves and with what we really want or desire, and or the other side did some things that affected us and we're guarded. And so we keep looking for that which is not going to challenge and fit in our new structure that we're creating. We're saying, oh no, I see these things that are happening with this person. I don't want to deal with this because it reminds me of. And he's probably like that. He's probably has all these traits that I don't want. And this is really, we're projecting on that person our past experiences. So being vulnerable, that's really where things start and take new turns in life. When we exit a relationship, and usually those are the life-changing events. You know, if you lose a job, okay, you lose a job, it's hard, it's difficult, but it's practical, you're figuring out ways to have a different source of income. But it's really practical. But really when a relationship ends or there is trauma in a relationship, then one or both of the people become vulnerable. And when we are vulnerable, that is really where the truth is. Because there we are losing our masks. The stories that we believed in fall apart. We realize that nothing is permanent except for change. Change is constantly happening. And when we adapt to change and we see change as a blessing and an opportunity, we really grow. And so when we're vulnerable, we can really tap into this authentic place, into this piece of you, into this place where the light shines, where there is no fear because you feel who you are and you know who you are. There is no hiding, there is no need to hide, there is no judgment. This is the piece of you. And this is where your power is. And the next song is by Liron Ben Shimon. She wrote the music, and Hila Gil wrote the lyrics, and it's called A Piece of You.
וקולך מפייס מנפץ מחסומים איתנים מזרזת זרימה של דם של זימה טורפת את כל הקלפים צמחים מטפסים על קירות תאומים גם אני מחפשת מקום שצמח אם אין בי מלבד שממה תגישו כי מאסתי באותם כיסופים הלילה צעיר אך נפשי די לאה מלתהות על אותם קנקנים צמחים מטפסים על קירות תאומים גם אני מחפשת מקום שצמח אם אין בי מלבד שממה עברתי מאותן הזיות בהן עיניי חזו ונפשי לא נגעה צמחים מטפסים
Liron Ben Shimon, Pisa Bach, a peace in you, a peace from you. It's recognizing, it's when you start recognizing these spots of power within you, you know, sometimes it's, sometimes we have a veil over our eyes and our and self-doubt and lack of self-worth, and we don't see the really power that we are, the really gifts that we have, what we are here to do and how we are here to give and to enjoy the abundance. And then one thing, one small thing happens and it's like you knock a nail in the wall and you make a hole in the wall and now you can see that on the other side there is light. And so it comes through that hole so you continue to knock the rest of the wall so you can get more amount of light. And so you start seeing your gifts. You know, and when you're vulnerable, when we come back to the place of vulnerability and having the courage to be in these places that are uncomfortable, to be in these places that question what we know, that question what we believe, that is really where your power is. And you start seeing that and learning to accept yourself just the way you are. Just the way you are, with all your choices and decisions and lessons that you learn. And so when we are also in a vulnerable place, you know, it's like the door is open. The door to possibilities is open. Now, because everything is duality in here, we can make a choice that can go positive, or we can make a choice that can go negative. When the door is open, everything can come in. When we are vulnerable and the door is open, it's very important the environment that we are surrounding ourselves with. So if you left a relationship, it ended, and you are in a vulnerable place, or you are in the midst of a divorce, and there are all these legal proceedings or all these kind of things that are really kind of taking you out of focus, out of your own benchmark, the balance, this place of harmony within you. You know, so when we are vulnerable, the environment that we surround ourselves with is going to dictate how we're going to evolve from this point on. It's like the example with the seed of the apple. You take a seed and you plant it. It's not from the seed that the tree grows. The seed disintegrates in a short time, but it's the environment. It's the environment that we surround ourselves with. Who do you want to sit at your table? Who do you want to be in your journey? Is this person that you are involved with, or people that are around you when you are vulnerable, are those people that see you and see and don't judge you and take you for who you are and encourage you and give you an environment, the soil, to grow a healthy tree, to have you bloom? What situations do we put ourselves back in that are back in the same patterns? So when we're vulnerable, we are, many times we will retract to what we're familiar, what we know already. And if it's a relationship that we lost, or some kind of a relationship issue that is happening, that is bothering us, and whatever place we inhabit, whatever emotional state that we're at, we're going to attract the people and the situations that are on the same vibrational level. So if we are in a dark place or a good place, most of the time the situations and the environment that is cultivating it and will continue and will be attracted to us and will attract this to us will be of the same vibrational quality. And so when we're vulnerable, we attract easily from either side. We have the option, we have the opportunity to choose who we are attracting, and who is going to sit at our table, who is going to continue this ride with us. So when a relationship ends, for example, we've been with one person for a while and it ends. So regardless of whether this relationship was a healthy relationship or the choices that you've made came from not healthy places to begin with a relationship. Nevertheless, with all that, there is a bond. There is a connection that was created, and now there is a tear. There is a tear because when you invest in the other person, your love grows to the other person. Because you're recognizing what you've invested in the other person. So your love grows and the ties get tighter. And when you tear, it's like taking a piece from each side. Imagine you put cotton, you take a ball of cotton and put it in a thorn field. A field of just thorns. Now try to separate that cotton. It's very hard because you'll have pieces that are left on that bush, that thorn. So what is happening is there is a void that is being created. And that void, if we are not aware, that void becomes a need. And now we're trying to fulfill that need. So we're looking to fulfill this need that came from a void. And many times we find a person, the next person, that will fulfill this need to us. And if we are not aware, there the pattern goes again. And we're finding a person that is fulfilling our need. And our need that comes from a place of a wound, from a place of a lack, is not really who you are. So when your needs is fulfilled, and you are with this person for a while, then you look at this person and say, I don't know what I'm doing with you, I don't know why I chose you, and all this kind of stuff. And so it's very easy to fall into these places, and it all starts also from a place of vulnerability. So who do we invite, and how do we choose? And now we have the opportunity, when we are vulnerable, to allow the pain, to be in this place, to go to this place, to allow ourselves to experience the pain, and to see what can we take from that experience. It's like I feel sometimes when situations like these happen, and I want to graduate from that, and I've learned it, I got it. It's like God and the universe are saying, okay, you want to graduate? The cost is the experience. And if I got the lessons, then the next relationship will be more from a healthy place and not from a place of a need or a place of a pattern in a certain area. So when we're fulfilling this need and we're finding a person that fulfills that need, then we are just feeding this need and we're not really coming from an authentic place. We're feeding, that need starts controlling us. And then we do everything to satisfy that need. As a comparison, we can take like an addiction to substance, for example. It's like there is this need that is stronger than anything that we do is to satisfy that need. How can we feed that? And so there is a sentence in the Gemara, and it says, and I'm translating it from Hebrew, if you feed it, you'll starve. And if you'll starve it, you'll be satisfied. Meaning if you feed your need, you'll just go into want more. Because it's not authentic. It's coming from a materialistic, from a satisfaction of the physical need, of the physical body, of your knee-jerk reaction. And so you're feeding the need. And that can go also if you have an argument, for example, in a relationship, where you get upset and you get hung up on details that are materialistic as far as who did this and why did you put your shoes here and why. I mean, things that are just part of this monopoly game that we're in. So also when we give in and we have a knee-jerk reaction to something that our partner said, then it's also fulfilling that need at that moment to be seen, to be heard, to be understood. Or you want to express frustration and it's just like bursting out of you. So feeding that need is always going to make you more hungry for more of that feeding. But if we can bring ourselves to make a choice to have once, twice, or three times challenges in keeping and making a different action, taking a different action, then eventually we'll be satisfied because we won't be controlled by our need anymore. Or gradually, or some are easier than the other. Depends on the situation. So, going back to when you exited the relationship and you were in a vulnerable place, and let's say you've discovered that there were certain things that your partner did that really affected you and caused you to lose trust in that person, and for that matter, you lose trust in all men or all women because you are wounded and because you are in pain and because you were cheated on and because you were told different things that did not support you and did not encourage you. And so you've lost trust. It's like when you close the door on your thumb, you know, your whole body is thumb. Now your whole body is in pain. It's not only that thumb that is hurting, your entire body hurts. And so we tend many times to shoot in the dark and to make assumptions about those who we meet next, just so, God forbid, we don't fall and we don't allow to be vulnerable again. And so the next person comes and you recognize a certain trait that person, or that person triggered something in you. And if you haven't dealt with that pain, that trauma that happened with the other person, and you're judging the person that is in front of you, then this is the projection that you bring on to this new relationship, to this new connection. Because you are assuming that this person is going to behave the same way that you've experienced. And so you're limiting yourself. So you're limiting yourself because of the pain, because of maybe it's not healed yet. And so you're not able to see the person who is in front of you. And so the person does something that to you appears like it's, oh, now he's doing the same thing that happened to me with the other person and I'm not going to trust him, that's it. I don't want to deal with this and I'm out of here. Hasta la vista, bye-bye. And then we created a story that was based on something that happened only in your experience. And with all that, and with everything that we talked until now, is to understand that you are exactly where you have to be. Tying it back to the beginning, you're exactly where you have to be. You're exactly in a place that you have all the tools You have all the tools to deal with what you're experiencing now. And with the right judgment in the sense of how to go from here, the next step. Not judgment on what you do, but how to go about. Then you are leading yourself into a healthier connection. Recognizing what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and recognizing where your choices are coming from. And remembering that those who trigger us are our best teachers. So this is an example of a situation that I know of, that the person limits themselves for any possibility, any opportunity that is outside of what is familiar because of that wound. And this brings me to something that I started a little bit talking about it last time and the time before that, and it's something that I've noticed, but I wanted to wait a little bit before I bring it up. And I feel now is the right time. And so when we don't heal that wound that we have, we carry it on and we project it on others, or our actions are coming still with charge, some kind of charge. So what I've experienced is that, and I talked about this last time, that there is a consensus, because now there is more awareness to women reclaiming their power, to women growing, to women voicing and showing their gifts, and coming out of this place of hiding and place of being small or a victim, or what society or what the patriarch was cultivating. The patriarchy was cultivating, and now things are shifting. And so there is like a sense that, oh, maybe misogyny is over, but it's far from the truth. But what happens many times is that it shifts, it internalizes. Women internalize many times that quote-unquote hate towards the oppressor or towards the abuser. And in many times it's men that use their power or whatever situation that was to abuse and to take advantage of situation. Consciously or not consciously, but it happened. And so not dealing with the wound to the male, wound to the masculine, I find it that some women will almost hide behind this woman empowerment movement. And movement only in the sense of that it's started to move recently, started to move in the right direction. So here is an example that I saw a while ago, a post on Facebook from somebody who is a woman who is offering services and for empowerment of women. And the post, and I looked for the post and I couldn't find it, but she created an event for women, and in it it said what will happen, and there won't be any men except for women, but there won't be any men except for the manslaves that will be in the event that will serve as women. They will have masks to their face and they'll have no shirts. So we can enjoy the view and they can serve us and who knows. So I bring this not because of a judgment. I bring this because of an observation of a situation that I'm of something that I'm talking about here. Of shifting that dealing and with healing the wound through the male to a place of now we are in power. And when I'm talking reclaiming your power, I'm not talking about now we are in power so we can oppress the male or use the male for our enjoyment. Now it's our time to enjoy a little bit. That is coming from a place of that wound, that need, that power, or the illusion of power. And so it's interesting. I would like to hear what you feel about that and to have maybe a discussion. Next time you can call in or write comments and below about this. How is your experience? Do you find that, have you noticed that? And so without healing, without opening and without allowing to be vulnerable again, we won't grow. To allow the vulnerability to build us, to allow the vulnerability to show us the possibilities and options, instead of running to something external, instead of putting it on something that makes maybe you feel good at the moment, feeding that need, but in a sense it really doesn't serve you. So what is this place of truth in you? What are you willing? Who are you willing to be with you in your journey to help you grow and rise and shine and let your light lead your way? Where are you now? What choices are you making? And where are these choices coming from? Can you connect and close your eyes and be in this choice, in this place of making that choice, and try to feel where is that coming from? Is that coming from an authentic place, really what you want and what you desire? Or is it coming from an expectation? Or what would somebody else say? So, we are at the end already. And just to recap, it's the place that we're in when we are vulnerable. What environment do we surround ourselves with? Where are our choices coming from? Looking, seeing yourself. What is your truth? How much of your truth did you compromise for love or peace? This is the beginning of the year. These are new beginnings, new energies, reclaiming your power, your authentic power of creativity, of vitality. And so the last song is by another wonderful singer. Her name is Yael Deckelbaum, and the song is called Return to the Light. Return to your light. Recognize your power, your truth. So see you next Sunday. You can check the Facebook page, facebook.com/BodySoulSound. Body, BODY, Soul, SOUL, Sound, SOUND. And I will see you next week. I will talk to you next week. Much love. Have a beautiful day. And make it whatever you choose to make it.
סוחף לאורך זמן מסע
לשוב אל האופן בסוף של יום מול הקופסה נשלט וביד השטן מטשטשי אמת כעת שולטים לו בתופן
Listening to Abracadabra, create what you speak with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.